Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
I'm going to start off with a story, but I'm trusting that this is what God wants you as a church individually to hear, so that you're going to come out of this service with a greater sense of God's plan and purpose for your life. So if you hang in there, okay, it's going to be encouraging, okay? So I don't normally say that, so I hope I'm not setting you up for, okay, wondering what's going to happen. Anyway, as Pastor Nelly said, we have many churches. We have about, besides Metro Manila, we have about 80-plus churches now across the Philippines. It's just simply harvest time. It's our nation has, you know, gone through so much. It's just the grace of God that we're seeing a harvest. But in one of the particular cities where we have a church, it's called the city of Tacloban. 2013, our pastor there received a prophetic word, I think sometime early in 2013. And the word was this, and he gave it to the pastor of the church. This lady who was an intercessor went to a gathering, not only with the pastor and his wife, but also with the mayor and his wife. Now, the mayor of the city happens to be a member of our church. Okay, he's a Victory Every Nation member. And when the woman started giving the word, it was an interesting word, because it says, you know, the world's eyes are going to be upon this city. The world is going to focus on you. I see helicopters. I see you in CNN. I see you're all going to be in the news, and you're going to, the world's attention is going to be on you, and words to that effect. You know, I forgot the other words, but those were primarily the words. And when our pastor started hearing it, it's like, wow, this is an amazing word. The world's eyes are going to be here. CNN is going to be here. It's like this famous city is going to go all over the world. Okay, so and so on and so forth. So after that, they just, you know, when you ever receive a prophetic word, I want you to understand God is a God who speaks, as was already said. So anyway, they just, you know, when you hear a word like that, you wonder how that's going to happen. Okay, well, so you just stuck it, you just treasure it, as it says with Mary when she received the word that she was going to give birth to the Messiah. So anyway, 6 months later, the strongest typhoon to have ever hit the world, at least on record, hit our nation, and that particular city, Tacloban. Okay? Internationally, it was called Haiyan. In the Philippines, it was called Yolanda. And the winds were more than 300 kilometers per hour, 250 miles per hour. And on record, I think there was one stronger the year after that. So, of course, we know with calamity, with climate change rather, you know, it was bound to happen, it seems like, that a typhoon like that would happen. And so, unfortunately, when the warning came for the typhoon, people thought that, you know, the mayor had done his job. I mean, he's very, very organized. He's an excellent mayor. But the Weather Bureau had warned them of a storm surge. Now, when you hear of a storm surge, what is that? Apparently, when there's a storm surge, the wind blows on the water and it actually brings up the water level. It's kind of like a tsunami when an earthquake, but it's not caused by an earthquake, it's caused by the wind. And there was a warning about a storm surge of about 25 to 30 feet, if I remember correctly. That's how it was. So the mayor warned everybody, but it's like it didn't really register with the people. In retrospect, he said, if we had said a tsunami, perhaps more people would have been spared. Over 6,000 people perished in that. And so my point is this. Okay, now fortunately and unfortunately, when there's a calamity, it brings out either the best in people or the worst in people. And the sad thing was there was political bickering. I won't get into the detail, but the mayor really was a hero to that city, because he held the city intact. And now the city, after a few years, is being rebuilt. And more than that, the place is more open now. People are starting to get saved more and more because of the openness to that calamity. But it's interesting to note, okay, when that prophetic word came, you know, you're going to be your city is going to be known worldwide. Your city is going, CNN is going to come in helicopters. We didn't realize how that would happen. So I don't want you to be scared to receive a prophetic word, okay? The point is, it did happen, and God did warn them. So I want you to understand that as we read this particular passage, we're going to see another storm that took place in the Bible. It's one of those rare times, but storms do come in the Bible. And I realized Brisbane in particular, I do remember 2011. I do remember, I didn't know that just last month that there were storms and severe flooding that came into the city. So you're not ignorant of things like that when calamity hits. So I'm here to encourage you, okay, by this message from the Word of God. Let's turn to Jonah chapter 1, starting in verse 1 up to verse 12. And we're going to see another storm that took place, that hit the sea. But there's going to be a different outcome as you read along in the story. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it. For their evil has come up before me." But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried to his God. And they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had laid down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, "What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish." And they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us." So they cast lots and the lot fell on Jonah. And when they said that, then they said to him, "Tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What is your occupation? And where do you come from? What is your country, and of what people are you?" And he said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, "What is this you have done?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then they said to him, "What shall we do to you, that the sea may quiet down for us?" For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. He said to them, "Pick me up and hurl me into the sea, then the sea will quiet down for you. For I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you." Let's pray right now. Father, I ask that you would anoint the preaching of your word. Father, your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Father, your word has the power to transform us. Our lives, our minds are renewed. Thank you that you love this church and you want this church to be in a greater place of kingdom purpose. And so we commit this time to you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we read in the story, Jonah was sent by God to a city called Nineveh and to proclaim that God's judgment was going to come upon that city. Now, I want us to understand something. You know, when you read stories like this, you wonder, you know, most people, they have a caricature of prophets as people of doom and gloom. That could be actually, that's really farthest from the truth, because prophets are special to the heart of God. Why? They are his spokesperson. It's been, if there's one thing I've learned having been a Christian for many years now, God is a God who wants to communicate with his people. God is a God who speaks. And when God speaks, it brings forth life to people. The gods of the nations were made of stone and wood, and they don't speak. They have mouths but don't speak. They have ears but don't hear. They have eyes but don't see. But the God of heaven and earth, the maker of heaven and earth, is a God who wants to speak to you and me. Amen? Why does God want to speak? Because he wants to have relationship with us. How many of you realize that? Communication is the essence of relationship. I'm reminded of the time when there was this couple who were wanting to have marriage counseling. And they went to their pastor, and the wife was complaining to the pastor that her husband doesn't love her. Okay, my husband doesn't love me. And the husband looked strange at her. "What do you mean I don't love you? Remember the time 15 years ago when we got married, I told you that I love you? If I change my mind, I'll let you know." How many of you know, okay, if you want to have a relationship, you have to communicate that. Come on. Okay, husbands, tell your wives you love them. Okay, you have to tell them that every day. Okay? You'll have your marriage seminar sometime next week. Okay, that's the advertisement. Anyway, so God wants to speak to His people, but it's interesting, much of how God speaks to His people, He doesn't speak to people directly. He uses certain people to do that for Him. That's what the prophets were. And I don't have time. It's a fascinating study in and of itself how God chose prophets. But needless to say, Jonah was assigned by God to bring forth a word to the city of Nineveh. Now, you know, Nineveh, according to the Lord here, He says their wickedness have come up to Him. Now, I want us to understand, when people who don't know God want to learn more about Him, you'll find out two facets about God. God is multifaceted, but on the one hand, He's a loving God. He's a God of grace. He's a God of mercy. He's a God who delights in people. Okay? But on the other hand, God is also a righteous and a holy God. And sometimes people can't reconcile that, because when God says that your sins will warrant God's judgment on you, they think, how can God be a loving God and yet bring judgment? And so you reconcile that by understanding as God is both. That's why the cross, when you think about it, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, when you remember the message last Resurrection Sunday, you know, when you look at the cross, it represents two things. It represents God's great love for you and me, and it represents God's hatred for sin. That's why Jesus had to suffer. And so here, God saw the wickedness. And though God loved the city, yet He knew in His righteousness that this city had to be judged. And Nineveh was no ordinary city. It was a great city according to the word. In fact, later on, we don't have time to read. You can read the rest of the book. It's just a short prophetic book. They had about 100,000, 120,000 people. That was a big city during that time. Now, Pastor Sam, Nancy, myself, I've been to Tokyo. My first time to go to Tokyo about 8-9 years ago. Our pastor, we have an Every Nation church there in a place called Shibuya. And Shibuya, there is an intersection there, okay, a pedestrian intersection that every day 2 million people pass. Tokyo is the largest city in the world. It has 35 to 38 million people. That makes Brisbane look like a neighborhood, isn't it? I mean, this is a major city here, right? But compared to Tokyo, Manila is just like a district. We have 12 million in our city. Tokyo has 35. And what struck me as I thought about that when I was there, I remembered Nineveh. This was such a great city, but I was broken to remember that hardly anybody in that city knew God. See, Japan is less than 2% Christian. Can you imagine a sea of humanity in that place, you know, that exports all the Japanese cars and all the Japanese sushi and all these things? But yet they're ignorant of God. And so that city, it was ignorant, yet it was going to be judged. And God wanted to send Jonah there. But what happened with Jonah? Jonah did not follow what God said. He ran away. He boarded a ship in Joppa to go to Tarshish, which is the opposite of where Tarshish is, somewhere in Spain. And Assyria was on the east side of Israel. Tarshish was on the west. It's like he went the very opposite way where God had wanted him to be. And so as a result of that, what happened? Well, it's not indicated there why Jonah did not follow God, but when you read the commentaries, you'll find out that the Ninevites were vicious enemies of the Israelites. You know how vicious these people, the Assyrians were? Nineveh was the capital of that city. When they would go and conquer a city, they would take the babies and dash them into rocks. That's how vicious this city was, these people. And so who would you want, you know, and ultimately, you know, Jonah knew that God wanted to show mercy. That's why He wanted him to go there and preach the gospel. God didn't want to judge him. He was warning them, but He wanted to spare them. That's why He sent Jonah. But if you were Jonah, these were my bitter enemies, why would you want to do that, isn't it? So that's why he ran away. And so what happened as a result of that, God sends a storm. Okay, we read it in the account. Now, the difficulty was this, and again, this is part of the background of the, you know, during those times, obviously they didn't have the modern navigation systems we have. They didn't have the Weather Bureau. They knew when it was safe to sail and not to sail. So there were seasons that they were sailing. We can venture to think that this trip was on a pretty good day. And so to have that storm suddenly come in was perhaps a shock to them. It's like, this is unexpected. And so here they were, unaware that the storm started panicking. And what did they do? They started crying out to their own gods, as we read it. And they started throwing the cargo overboard to lighten the ship. Again, you have to understand, in the ancient Near East, see, the gods, remember, they were a pagan culture. They had many gods. They relied on the gods to create order by defeating the powers of chaos. But remember, these chaotic things happening in the environment around them were to be tamed, but they could not be abolished. And so there was always a sense, okay? Think about this. The gods that these sailors were calling to were kind of capricious gods. They didn't know if there would be, have a good mood one day and have a bad mood another day. What kind? How would you like to serve a god like that? Okay. If he's having a good mood, then you're all right. But if not, sorry. So the embodiment of these lawless and chaotic forces was actually the sea, which men could not control or tame. In fact, those of you are familiar with Greek mythology, Poseidon, or Neptune, the god of the sea, was also the god of the earthquake. However, as you see in Scripture, that's why, when you read the Scripture knowing this, you'll realize, okay, remember you've had these Scriptures, Psalm 24, verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it, for He founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. In the Scriptures, God would make sure that the people understood God was God of heaven and earth, and all the forces of nature were subject to God. That's the kind of God that the Israelites knew. So here, the captain becomes incredulous. While here they're panicking, they're crying out, their boat's about to sink, and they find Jonah sleeping below the deck while they were all crying out for their lives. And so what did they do? They cast lots, which is a means of trying to have divine guidance. You know, it's these devices that, I don't know if it's like throwing the dice, if you will. And it turns out that the lot falls on Jonah. And so they begin to question him. Who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you? All these questions again and again. And then to their horror, they realize the storm came because Jonah was going opposite to what God had wanted him. Now, we want to pause at this moment. I've set it up for you to ask you some question. And the question is this. So often when we look at the problems going on in the world, think about the problems in your city, in the nations. Fortunately, Australia doesn't seem to have many of the problems. I don't know. I mean, you read about it in the Middle East. You read about it in South Korea. You read about it in India, in Asia, all these places. There's always problems. So fortunately, you're fortunate as a nation. You don't get much of that. But we know that we don't just live in isolation. We live in a world right now. And there are many problems that people face. And what happens is, so often when we see the problems in the world, we blame the people of the world, isn't it? The crime, the corruption, all the, you know, the broken families, the drugs, the alcoholism, all these things. And certainly, there is a measure of truth to that. But do you realize, brothers and sisters, that the storm that came upon that boat was not because of the sinners, if you will, it was because of Jonah, who was a man of God, supposed to be. And that begs the question, could it be that when we look at the problems of the world, you know, it makes you wonder, all the storms that are going on, could it be that maybe it's not so much because of the world, because of God's people not doing what they're supposed to do? Oh, okay, so it's going to get better, okay? So there's something for you here. How much of the storms of life in our society are more to be blamed on the failure and disobedience of God's people than on the world? That's a hard question, but it's something we need to think about. Could it be that the problems of our cities are much the fault of the church as it is the unrighteous? Now, that, again, that's a strange question to ask. What do you mean we're to be blamed? You know, we're good people, aren't we? You know, we love God. You know, we try to live for Him. And yet, as it says here, the storm came because Jonah wasn't doing what God told him to do. Is God not fair with us? Well, let me try to frame it this way. Do you know that the answers to people's problems, how many of you believe the world is coming to a point where it's running out of solutions? You're fortunate, as I said, here overall. But let me tell you, there's so much turmoil in the nations right now. Any war could erupt anytime between North and South Korea and Japan. We know that. And it's going to change. Could it be that, as we again said here earlier, that we're not doing something and that's why these storms are coming? I believe even those, think about this, those questions that those sailors were asking Jonah could very well be the questions that the world is asking. Think about the people around you, in your school, in your home, in your neighborhood, in your office, in your workplace. What do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? Why do you have this faith in Christ? What is your lifestyle? Why are you living like this? I want you to understand, people are observing you. You know, you might think, well, they don't really mind. You know, they're, oh yeah, Aussie people, they just like, you know, living. Well, that's true. But let me tell you, they have their own storms too. And they're looking for answers. I was telling one of our students in Sydney, who grew up with my son in high school, you know, this certain person that she was reaching out to, she's an atheist. And I told her, you know, don't think that you're going to try to win her by arguing with her. You need the supernatural power of God. I want us to understand something. God has given us a mandate to reach out to people, and He has not left us to our own devices. If you think that you're going to win people by intellectual agreement, they're not going to be won. It's the power of the Spirit of God in you, which you have. That's going to enable you. When you do miracles and pray for them and bring healing and bring a prophetic word that will edify them, let me tell you, it's going to disarm whatever. I'm reminded of this story. You know, there was this atheist who was walking along the woods one day. And, you know, he was admiring the scenery. Just, you know, the birds were chirping. It was a peaceful scenery. And then out from nowhere, this bear comes out rushing after him. Okay, it wasn't this koala bear, you know, that you see in the Sydney Zoo. It was a grizzly bear, okay? And so, this man realizes, so he tries to make a run for it, okay? And as he's running, the bear's gaining on him. And so finally, he's trying his best, and he looks back, and as he looks back, he stumbles on a stone and falls to the ground. His back is on the ground, and the bear is about to pounce on him. And when he sees that, the man cries, "Oh my God!" And as he does that, suddenly the bear freezes. And the wind begins to die down. And the light begins to shine where the man is. And then a voice begins to speak and says, "Am I now to make you a believer of me? I remember you denied me many times that I don't exist. Now you're calling on my name. Do you want to be a believer as well?" And the man thought for a moment, if I say I'm a believer now in God, I'm a hypocrite, right? And so he thought, okay, excuse me, could you just make the bear a Christian instead? And the voice said, "Very well." And so the light withdraws. The birds begin chirping again. And the bear withdraws his paws and puts it together and says, "Lord, thank you for this meal that I'm about to eat. In Jesus' name I pray, amen." People can say they're atheists, come on, but when they get into trouble, come on, they're going to call on God, come on. True story? Really? See, there's only one group of people who can communicate God's heart, and that's the church. That's you and me. But unfortunately, sometimes we act like Jonah. We're so absorbed in our own comfort, isn't it, that we don't realize this storm is hitting all the world. Three reasons why God sent the storm. Let me do this quickly. Number one, you see, because Jonah failed to do what he was supposed to do, the storm came upon the sailors. There's three things that Jonah failed to do. Number one, he was running instead of preaching. That's in verses 2-3. Remember, prophets and preachers were chosen by God to speak not only the words of God, but also his heart and mind. It's so important. You'll know this. When God speaks through a human vessel, it's not just the information. It's the heart. Let me tell you, God is a passionate God. He's an all or nothing God. God doesn't look for acquaintances. He wants covenant relationships. That's how God is when he relates with you and me. You know, you're all passionate people in one way or another, isn't it? So it won't be surprising for us if God is a passionate God, because we were made in his image. Christianity is an all or nothing religion. Okay? If you're just lukewarm, you're going to be bored, or you're going to find, okay, but when you become passionate for God and for His things, you'll find out this is the adventure that you're all looking for. Now, of course, preaching may seem to be a lonely job. You know, I remember this preacher who was preaching about the doctrine of heaven and hell, and he wanted to emphasize the difference between the two. You know, there is a heaven and a hell, you know, and I know that can be politically incorrect in some settings now, but Jesus, in fact, talked more about hell than he did about heaven. And this preacher was talking about hell, and to emphasize the point, he made a challenge. He said, if anybody wants to go to hell, so there he was preaching before this congregation, if anybody wants to go to hell, I want you to stand up. And obviously nobody stood up. But after several seconds, this boy sheepishly stands up. Wow. And the preacher was thinking, oh man, this boy wants to go to hell. And he asked him, are you sure, son, that you want to go to hell? And the boy said, well, pastor, I saw you were the only one standing and I couldn't help. But no, I wanted to stand with you, so come on. Preaching, come on, can be lonely. But God wants you to know sometimes the message. But listen, you don't have to be a preacher to speak for God. Paul says we've all been given the ministry of reconciliation. So if you're a follower of Christ, you've been given, you're an ambassador for Him. I like that. Okay, you don't have to apologize. You don't have to be ashamed of the gospel. Come on. You've been given dignity to represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Number two, he was sleeping instead of praying. Can you imagine that? He was snoring instead of praying. How many of you would acknowledge that that happens? I have to admit, that happens to me. You know, I've learned now, whenever I feel sleepy when I start praying, I just fall asleep and then I wake up again and pray after that, okay? So the enemy can't fool me anymore, okay? I just sleep. Can you imagine that? Isn't this, think about this. All the pagans were praying. They were crying out to their own God. Ah, ah, and here was, you know, no. I mean, what an ironic scene, isn't it? You know, people might not mind you when you share the gospel, but let me tell you, as the atheist learned, when calamity strikes, people will cry out to God. One of our missionaries in Mumbai, India, was ministering to this student who had just graduated. And he said, you know, he talked about Jesus, and he said, well, I don't know if I really believe in Jesus. Of course, they have 300 million gods there, so there's many gods in India. But he said this, well, if your God is real, can He give me a job? Yeah, he'd been looking for a job. He couldn't find one. If He can give me a job, then I'll believe in Him. In her heart, Mary was smiling. Well, I thought you'd never ask. So a few weeks later, he does get a job. He gets saved. Now he's one of the leaders in our church. Hallelujah. I want us to understand something. God so desires to save people. God doesn't want anybody to perish. God is not some God out there like, you know, to zap people. No. He desires that none would perish. And He wants to use you and me to be His messengers. And so when we're sleeping instead of praying, that doesn't happen. Okay? And let me tell you, as much as we want to go to 10 days teams, God just wants to send you to your neighborhood. Come on, to the office people right across your desk. You don't have to go far. Go first to your neighborhood. Go first to your campus. And reach out to those people. And finally, number three, he was waiting instead of acting. Jonah was letting the heathen do what he should have done. What should he have done? He should have gotten off the boat in the first place. And so he was letting the world take responsibility for what he should have done in the first place. What are some of the things that the world is doing because the church is not? I don't know if this happens here, but at least in the United States, what's amazing is these psychic hotlines have become so prolific in America. Why? Because people are wanting to have guidance. They want to know the future. They can't. Guess what? God gave us the gift of prophecy to help people. I want us to understand, prophecy is not fortune telling. Prophecy is like a door of opportunity that God gives you. You know, and some of you went through training like that. That's one of the most amazing gifts that God gives, because God wants you to know you don't have to figure out and be scared about the future. He has given you the scriptures, which is the most important prophecy of scripture, but yet He's also given you the gift so that you can have divine guidance. See, when we don't do what we're supposed to do, the world will find those answers in other places. Instead of calling these things demonic, we should meet the needs of these people who are hungry for the supernatural, because especially in first world countries, let me tell you, you know, you are blessed because you're in a first world country. Where I live, of course, we're a developing country, we're becoming more prosperous. And it's good, but it's also scary on our part, because unfortunately, this is a pattern. Every time a nation becomes prosperous, more often than not, that nation begins to forget God. Now, are we saying that we should be poor? No. It's God's delight to prosper His servants. But there's something about material wealth that somehow quenches the passion of people for God. Didn't Jesus say you cannot serve both God and money? Let me tell you, we were walking along Sydney and seeing all these beautiful houses. But there was a cry in my heart, Lord, are these people near you? Are these people seeking after you? What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeit his own soul? Let me tell you, Australia, you know, don't think that your wealth is what's going to save you. It's Jesus Christ. You still want me back? Okay. So how did the storm abate? The storm, you know what they tried to do? Let me read verse 13. In response, remember the question is, how can we let this storm abate? How can we let the sea calm down? Verse 13, it says this. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. Therefore, they called out to the Lord. So now they were calling on God, isn't it? They were calling on their pagan gods. Now they're calling on the real God. Lord, don't let us perish for this man's life. I mean, that's a fair prayer, isn't it? Lord, why are you blaming us? Lord, we didn't disobey you. This guy did. Let us not perish for this man's life and lay not on us innocent blood. For you, O Lord, have done this as it pleased you. So in other words, okay, Jonah was saying that the only way for this storm to calm down is when you throw me out of the water. And they didn't want to do it. But the ship was about to break and they were about to die. They said, okay, Lord, we don't want to do this because we might displease you. But since he said that, we'll just do it. So they picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. I want to close. How did the storm become, how did it dissipate? How did the sea become calm? Two things. Jonah was thrown into the water, and the fish swallowed Jonah. You know what that speaks? That's a metaphor. In the Revelation, the Bible talks about the sea, the surging sea, as a reference to humanity, the mass of humanity. Think about that. You know, when you see the sea, there's more than 7 billion people. I mean, you know, you complain about traffic here. Wait till you go to Manila, okay? Okay, you'll know what traffic is, okay? But I like Manila because there's a lot of people, more people to reach. That's the way I make sense of it. I mean, it's stressful living in a congested city. How I wish I could live in a place like this. But the point is, God wants to thrust us back into the sea of humanity where the real world is. You know, when we become Christians, somebody said it this way, the first thing God does is He takes us out of the world because it's the world that has polluted us. Then number two, He takes the world out of us. He changes our values. He changes our priorities. He changes what is important to us. So He gets us out of the world. He gets the world out of us. And guess what happens after that? He puts us back into the world so that we can reach out to those people who don't know Him. And finally, number three, He was swallowed by the fish for 3 days and three nights. Remember, Jesus said the sign that He had given, the sign that He was going to give the people was He was going to be in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. So it's coming into a place of Jesus Christ laying down your life so that you can be a messenger of reconciliation. You know what happened in closing? Jonah, we won't read it anymore. Jonah prayed to the Lord in those 3 days and three nights. How many of you know he came to his senses inside that belly? I don't know if it's a whale or a fish, regardless, okay? He had enough time to realize, Lord, I've I've disobeyed you, and now this storm came upon me. Actually, the fish was actually God's mercy. He would have drowned, isn't it? So God, the fish was God's mercy upon him to help him realize that he needed to do what God wanted him to do. And I want us to understand this. You know, this might make you come to think, really, God can use anybody. If sometimes people don't follow the call of God, God will raise up somebody else. But in this case, he wanted Jonah to be part of what he was doing. And so finally, Jonah came back. We won't read any more chapters 2 and 3 and 4, but you can read it. And so when he was burped out by the fish near where Nineveh was. And, you know, well, I don't know if he went inland. It was Nineveh is somewhere near modern Iraq, northern Iraq right now. And he preached. And the amazing thing was the whole city repented. A heathen city that was no concept of God repented at the preaching of Jonah. I don't know if somebody said, you know, maybe they were so scared because Jonah may have been bleached by the gastric juices of that whale, of that fish. He must have looked so scary, okay? But I think more than that, it was God's heart of compassion for a city that didn't know him. In fact, Jonah, ironically, got angry. After that, the people repented. He got angry. He said he wanted to die. I mean, like God said, why are you angry? You know, these people don't know what the left hand is from the right. These people don't know God at all. Wouldn't you have been rejoicing that these people turned? And I want to encourage you as we close. There are many people, you may not have a storm in your life right now, but there are storms going on in the lives of those people. And it's only when you present the good news that the storm will calm down in their lives. You're meant to be, to bring calmness to the storms that people go through. But that's if we're willing to be his messengers.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.